Hi, this is Jane. It is Friday, April 10th, and I'll be reading the Chelsea Record with a publication date of April 9th. Council updated on Veterans Home Project. City Manager Fidel Maltese and representatives from developer Penrose provided an update on the progress of the Veterans Home Project to the City Council this week. The public-private partnership between the state and Penrose will create new veterans priority housing on the current Old Soldiers Home campus, and Penrose has assured the city that all veterans currently living on the campus will be able to move into new units as the project progresses. The city has been working very closely with Penrose on this project, stated Maltese. We expect construction permits to be pulled soon and for this development to proceed with its first phase. The city manager said he has also asked the developer to host a community meeting to inform abutters about the progress. Since the last update provided to the city council, several important milestones have been reached, stated Carmen Chung, the regional vice president for Penrose. Penrose submitted a full application for low-income housing tax credits and state soft funding sources to the Massachusetts Executive Office of Housing and Livable Communities, or EOHLC, on November 11, 2025. The application included a request for 49 project-based Section 8 vouchers to support veterans' households with incomes at 30% and 50% of area median income, or AMI. Chung said all of the approximately 120 current residents of the home are anticipated to be relocated into new units across both Phase 1 and Phase 2, and the project-based vouchers are intended to cover all households who fall within the 50% AMI income range or below. Veterans will have 100% preference for the affordable units at the redeveloped veterans home. Penrose is preserving all 9 buildings that are on the current Soldiers Home site, with the only scheduled demolition set for the one-story incinerator building. The new construction for the project includes 18 units of townhouses, a two-story cafe and community building, and a new building on the east parcel at the corner of Hillside and Crest Avenue. Phase 1 is scheduled to include 69 units. As of March 2026, EOHLC approved the full funding request, including all 49 vouchers, ensuring deep, long-term rental assistance for the veterans who will be residing at the campus, Chung said. Penrose will work closely with the Chelsea Housing Authority to explore opportunities to secure additional project-based vouchers to further supplement those awarded through EOHLC. In parallel, Chung said the Executive Office of Veteran Services, or EOVS, has formally approved the Comprehensive Supportive Services Plan developed jointly by Penrose and Soldier On, a nonprofit veteran service provider. The approved plan commits significant operational resources to resident support, including case management, telehealth services, the provision of a fresh meal daily for residents that need it, and robust transportation services, Chung said. Transportation will be available up to 7 days per week and will prioritize access to medical appointments, essential services, grocery shopping, and recreational activities. Penrose, DCAMM, and Soldier On are currently coordinating final supportive service agreements to contractually memorialize these approved obligations. Counselor at Large, Leo Robinson, has been among the counselors who have raised some questions about the services that will be provided to the Soldiers Home residents, noting that currently many of the residents can receive up to 3 meals per day. Having now received preliminary financing approvals from EOHLC, and working towards a May commitment from Mass Housing's board. Closing and construction start are projected for July 2026, Chung stated. Closing calls with Penrose and the lending and investment teams are actively underway, and all parties have reiterated their commitment to providing the necessary resources to ensure a smooth and collaborative closing and construction process. Penrose and the development team will host another community meeting to provide updates prior to beginning construction. With the adjusted Phase 1 schedule, Chung said closing for the Phase 2 is now targeted to occur in 2027, with construction partially overlapping with Phase 1. Full completion of Phases 1 and 2 is currently projected for 2029, she said. While Penrose will continue to advance the design and coordination of Phases 3 and 4 during this period, we wish to reiterate that all current residents of the Soldiers' Home will move into the newly constructed homes within Phases 1 and 2 prior to the start of construction on Phases 3 and 4. With respect to open space improvements, investment in new and existing landscaped areas for shared neighborhood use is planned to coincide with the construction of Phases 3 and 4, Chung added. City Manager formalizes traffic safety policy. City Manager Fidel Maltes submitted an executive order to the City Council that establishes Chelsea's Vision Zero policy and implements the Vision Zero action plan previously adopted by the Council. This policy defines how departments across City Hall will coordinate to eliminate traffic-related deaths and serious injuries in Chelsea, said Maltes. In 2023, Chelsea was awarded a grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation to develop a Vision Zero action plan. Vision Zero is an international traffic safety initiative that recognizes that human error is inevitable and seeks to design transportation systems that prevent those errors from resulting in serious injury or loss of life, stated Maltes. Throughout 2025, city staff, councilors, and transportation planners worked collaboratively to develop Chelsea's Vision Zero action plan, which the council adopted at the end of the year. This executive order builds on that work by operationalizing the plan and establishing a clear framework for implementation. The policy establishes a Vision Zero task force, which will meet quarterly and include representatives from Housing and Community Development, Fire, Police, Public Works, Health and Human Services, and the City Manager's Office. Maltes said the task force will guide implementation of the plan's strategies, addressing both near-term actions and long-term improvements. The Housing and Community Development Department will publish a Vision Zero report to update the community on the plan's progress. The city has already made meaningful progress, said Maltes. Based on analysis of serious crashes and near misses, we have implemented lighting and signage improvements along 2nd Street and Eastern Avenue. We are also advancing designs for safety improvements at the intersections of Washington and Crescent and Carter Street at the Route 1 on-ramp, which is heavily used by students. The city manager said the policy required under the U.S. DOT grant formalizes the city's long-term commitment to Vision Zero and to safer streets for all. Superior Court approves sale of Forbes property to Mass Audubon. The 18-acre Forbes property has been sold to Mass Audubon. We can report that the receiver has officially sold the property to Mass Audubon for $8.36 million, stated Maltes in a letter to the City Council. As part of the city will receive over $1 million in back taxes and property liens, the city will also receive all costs appropriated by the City Council for the receivership. The land is the former site of the Forbes Lithograph Manufacturing Company and has been abandoned for nearly two decades as several residential and mixed-use plans came close to fruition but never fully materialized. In November of 2024, there was a massive 9-alarm fire at the Forbes site. In late 2024, the property was placed in receivership at the request of the City of Chelsea, a legal step that opened a window of opportunity for the partnership to actively pursue the acquisition of the property, according to Mass Audubon. Mass Audubon partnered with local environmental justice nonprofit Green Roots and the Neighborhood Developers, a local community development corporation, to transform 18 acres of waterfront property in Chelsea into a broadly accessible, climate-resilient park, mixed-income housing, and community amenities along the Chelsea Creek waterfront. Current plans call for up to 225 units of mixed-income housing, according to Mass Audubon. The vision for the project includes a nature center, outdoor classroom, and accessible green space, according to Mass Audubon. The project partners will be developing a community engagement plan so members of the Chelsea community have a say in the future development of the site. The efforts to transform the property received a boost recently when the state's Superior Court judge overseeing the receivership approved Mass Audubon's offer to purchase the property. Green Roots and the residents of Chelsea have been actively engaged in this critically important site for over two decades, stated Roseanne Bongiovanni, executive director of Green Roots and lifelong Chelsea resident who grew up near the site. As we work to create more waterfront access and green space and achieve environmental justice, we see that this parcel offers multiple opportunities for the community that we are excited to realize. Our residents deserve to access this historically important site in a way that is welcoming and beneficial for all. While there is much work to be done, we are celebrating this monumental milestone for the community, for Green Roots, and for environmental and climate justice. Mass Audubon officials stated that the organization intends to spend the next few months performing site evaluations and environmental testing. The Forbes company had an extensive industrial presence from the mid-1880s through the 1960s. And while some environmental remediation has been performed, additional testing must be conducted, they stated. In addition, existing infrastructure needs to be evaluated as well, including the access bridge over the MBTA commuter rail and an existing seawall. Mass Audubon's experience conserving land and protecting biodiversity, combined with the community's input and our invaluable partners who live and work in Chelsea, means that we have the expertise and commitment to turn this dream into reality, said David O'Neill, president and CEO of Mass Audubon. The opportunity to create an accessible oasis of open space while also bolstering climate resilience is fully aligned with our mission, and we look forward to partnering with community members. Raphael Mayers, executive director of the Neighborhood Developers, said Chelsea residents need more public parks, access to the waterfront, and affordable homes. This project promises to deliver all of the above at the same time and in the same location, stated Mayers. The partnership between Mass Audubon, Green Roots, and the TND intentionally combines green space and waterfront access with affordable homes to create powerful benefits that each amenity could not deliver alone. The next steps for the site, according to the project partners, include updating public safety measures and temporarily blocking access to the site by repairing fencing and reboarding up buildings, removing the damaged and vandalized buildings, while preserving historic elements for future reuse, and repairing the seawall to protect Chelsea Creek and Mill Creek from pollutants and build climate resiliency in the face of sea level rise. City of Chelsea selected to compete for 2026 All-America City Award for second consecutive year. The City of Chelsea is proud to announce Chelsea has been selected as a finalist for the prestigious 2026 All-America City Award. This recognition underscores the strength of Chelsea's community and marks Chelsea's fourth time being selected as an AAC finalist. Chelsea, a three-time All-America City AAC champion, took home the award in 2025, 1998, and 2014. Chelsea joins a cohort of 19 other finalist communities spanning 16 states, ranging in size from 12,000 residents to nearly 500,000. What unites them across differences of size, geography, and politics is a deep pride in place and a shared conviction that residents deserve a real voice in the decisions that shape their lives and homes. These finalists were selected through a competitive, expert-led review process, evaluating each community across six criteria: shared vision, civic engagement, inclusiveness and equity, collaboration, innovation, and impact. We are incredibly proud and humbled to be named an All-America City finalist for the second year in a row and for the fourth time in Chelsea's history, following our wins in 2025, 1994, and 2014. This recognition is a testament to our city government, the people of Chelsea, including our residents, our faith leaders, our nonprofit organizations, and our businesses. Chelsea has always been a city that meets the moment. Doug Linkhart, president of the National Civic League, said, "This year's All-American City finalists remind us that the strength of democracy depends on engaged residents who are invested in shaping the future of the places they call home. As the nation marks 250 years since its founding, these communities are proving that civic health is improved block by block through trust, belonging, and the collective power of people working together. The city is excited to represent its vibrant community and aims to bring home the coveted All-America City title." Chelsea will travel to Denver this June to face off against 19 other communities, presenting their work, share their impact, and compete for the nation's most storied and prestigious community recognition. Chelsea is a gateway city, a place where, for generations, immigrants have arrived with hope and built something extraordinary together. From the Jewish families who arrived in Chelsea in the 1990s, after facing persecution, to the Central and South American families putting down roots today, the city's diversity has always been its greatest strength. Nearly half of Chelsea's residents are foreign-born, and the city's leadership reflects the faces of the people it serves. Since 1949, the All-America City Award has been one of the nation's most respected honors, recognizing communities that effectively use collaboration and civic engagement to address local challenges and drive impactful change. Chelsea and the 19 other finalists were chosen through a competitive review process led by an independent panel of experts based on their innovative and inclusive approaches to environmental sustainability. This year's 20 finalists have distinguished themselves through their commitment to strengthening civic health and building trust. They are Bowling Green, Warren County, Kentucky; Chelsea, Massachusetts; Conway, South Carolina; Franklin, Tennessee; Grand Island, Nebraska; Harlingen, Texas; Huntsville, Alabama; Jenks, Oklahoma; Monrovia, California; Montgomery, Alabama; Morrisville, North Carolina; Norfolk, Virginia; North Charleston, South Carolina; Opa-locka, Florida; River Forest, Illinois; Riviera Beach, Florida; Roanoke, Virginia; Stowe, Ohio; Wichita, Kansas; and Woodburn, Oregon. For more information about this award, visit www.nationalcivicleague.org/America-2026. city-award. Council continues debate on inclusionary zoning proposal. The City Council debated City Manager Fidel Maltese's revised inclusionary zoning ordinance at a subcommittee meeting Monday night. Maltese presented the revised plan following a lengthy subcommittee meeting last week, where councilors expressed concerns about the extent of the proposed changes to inclusionary zoning in Chelsea. The subcommittee voted to continue the meeting to an additional subcommittee meeting before the City Council meeting on April 27th, possibly early next week. The subcommittee could then vote to move the inclusionary zoning amendments to the full council for its April 27 meeting. At that point, the council could then send the ordinance to the planning board for a recommendation before coming back to the council again for a public hearing and a vote on adoption. At the heart of much of the debate in subcommittee was the effect the new inclusionary zoning regulations would have on spurring development in Chelsea as the city aims to bring more money into its coffers. This year, thanks in part to declining enrollment, the school department faced a $6.6 million budget shortfall. Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Almia Beta, has stated that enrollment could continue to drop by more than 200 students next year. District 1 Councilor Todd Taylor pointed to the data showing the current inclusionary zoning ordinance has done little to create new development or affordable housing. Council Vice President Nora Lees de Jesus also asked if the current ordinance was more effective at creating affordable housing or just preventing possible gentrification through the creation of higher rent new developments. The problem is that you cannot continue to have it both ways, said Taylor. We cannot continue the level of spending that we have, the level of services we provide to people, if we don't have the money to do it. If the city chooses not to develop, Taylor said that means raising taxes and potentially getting rid of the 35% residential exemption and the maximum shift on commercial properties. We cannot continue as we are, said Taylor. We got a huge infusion of ARPA, or COVID relief money, that was free, literally free money from the federal government that we used for pretty good purposes, but that's gone. My point is that either we do what the city manager is proposing, or we raise taxes. If taxes are raised, Taylor said he believed it would lead to higher rents and more residents leaving Chelsea. We are going to find ourselves in an even worse position of fewer people in the cart pulling, and we are going to go nowhere, said Taylor. If we do what you are proposing, it seems like at least we are going to have more options because we have more revenue, which gives us more choices in what to do and how to actually provide the affordable housing we need. Maltese pointed to a recent failed Proposition 2.5 override in Malden as something that could happen in Chelsea if it does not find ways to increase revenues and control spending. It was a brutal process for that community, and it failed, said Maltese. It is going to result in significant losses everywhere, in the school department, in the fire department, in the police department. I know that the same result would happen here in Chelsea. There is no way that our residents, our homeowners, our property owners, our renters, our constituents, our voters are going to support an override to tax themselves. Maltese said the city must spend less and grow more. He also noted that the city has to make more changes than just to inclusionary zoning, pointing to other potential zoning changes that could spur development throughout Chelsea. We are chasing every dollar that we can, but it's up the ante. The ante is a little bit higher for every development that comes to Chelsea, said Maltese. We have in the past had a spotty record of denying development, and there are times when you can do that. Right now is not the time. District 4 Councilor Tanari Garcia said she got a phone call from one of her constituents who asked if the changes would impact their current affordable housing, and Garcia said it would not. Garcia said she believes the city needs to concentrate on affordable housing preservation and Chelsea's community land trust. We need to protect those who will be close to being displaced and having hardships, so we need to protect these two things, said Garcia. Maltese said he was happy to see that there was agreement among the council that the current inclusionary zoning ordinance was not producing affordable housing for Chelsea. I think there is some misconception that by modifying this, it's going to reduce and provide less production of affordable housing, said Maltese. The data we have looked at has shown that it will actually do the opposite. It will give the city more money to invest in projects like the Community Land Trust. District 5 Councilor Lisa Santagate said she does not believe the city has done enough yet in the ordinance to provide for affordable housing. I wonder about some progressive tiers where the larger the building there are almost different levels of affordable units based on AMI, based on the size of the units, said Santagate of the proposed inclusionary zoning changes. This is kind of a one-size-fits-all, and I think we can do better than that. Or there are things out there that are creative, that there is more. Santagate said she also believed that the process was moving too fast without looking at other options for inclusionary zoning and affordable housing. It seems like it's a guess. It's a two-year guess, and we're playing at something that's value-based that makes us who we are, said Santagate. Maltese said he understood the level of conflict with the city's values and that it was the same conflict he felt with the school budget crisis. We had to put our money where our mouth is and say, what values do we have, said Maltese. I foresee these conversations becoming more reactive, unfortunately, and I see us having these more often as our reserves are eaten up by immediate needs. District 2 Councilor Darren Hines thanked Maltese for the work he and the administration have put into the ordinance, but said he felt like the city was having the wrong conversations. I feel like the conversations we are having are pertaining to the amendments rather than discussing how it is we can make inclusionary zoning work, said Hines. Like Santagate, Hines said he would like to see how the city could better incentivize the creation of more affordable housing under the current strictures. I'm sorry, that's all we have time for today.